I agreed to do this quite some time ago, and as it got closer, I really struggled with what I was going to say. I write about the environment a lot, but I know that in this room, I'm amongst people who know a lot about this already. You're very experienced environmentalists and naturalists, so how could I add something of value to this conversation? And as I thought about that, I thought that my struggle to come up with something meaningful to say can reflect a little bit of the way that many of us feel when we're faced with these vast issues and vast problems, like the state of the environment. We feel small in the face of this bigness. We don't know what to do. and we're not sure we have something meaningful to contribute. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought that even if we're not sure of what to say, it's important that we say something and that we use our voice. Because even if our voice by itself is small, when you add it all up, it amounts to something that just isn't so small anymore. It's much bigger. So that's part of what I'm going to be talking about today. So as Unitarian Universalists, one of the seven principles, and we probably know this one pretty well, that we covenant to affirm and promote is respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. And two of the sources we draw from for our inspiration are, first, the humanist teachings, which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science, including environmental science, and spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. And Beacon's own mission statement echoes this when we say that we strive for harmony with our environment. So I think what this means is that as Unitarian Universalists and as Beaconites, we consider adopting a more sustainable lifestyle to be one of the tenets of our faith. So telling everyone to take care of the earth on Earth Day would be sort of preaching to the choir. It's too bad for me because preaching to the choir can be a little bit fun, but you all know about the importance of recycling and all of that stuff, right? So what I'm going to be speaking about instead are some of the spiritual implications that arise as we consider our impact on the planet. So our modern lifestyle, or much of our modern lifestyle, is centered around convenience. We spend a fair bit of time and money trying to make our lives easier. So I am a person who does this as well. We buy dishwashers and microwave ovens and prepackaged frozen dinners and cars and disposable cutlery. And who can blame us? We've got a lot on the go. Who doesn't want to make things a little bit easier? It's nice that I could reheat something for my kids for breakfast in 45 seconds. That was really nice. It's nice that we don't have to wash our own dishes by hand all the time. It's nice to be able to drive wherever we want, whenever we want to. I wouldn't want to take my two kids and four bags of groceries onto a crowded bus and try to get home with it. I wouldn't want to do that. So who can blame us for wanting to offload some of those more inconvenient and mundane aspects of our life, right? But the problem, as we all know, is that much of that convenience comes at a cost. The more we consume, the bigger our environmental impact. So I took a quiz yesterday. Have you ever seen those quizzes online to see how big your own environmental footprint is? It's a little depressing. I did it. And apparently, if everyone lived the way that I do, it would take four planet Earths to support us all. Yeah. Not good, right? It's pretty sobering. And that's not even taking into account my carbon footprint or how much pollution I'm probably generating. So, not great. Last June, I attended the Midsummer Fete at Colony Farm, which was really, really a fun day. And they had a labyrinth there. And I walked the labyrinth as best I could while keeping an eye on my children. And along the way, they had these red wooden signs in the shape of fish and with quotes on them. And the one quote that stood out for me was from Carl Sagan. It said, "The universe is not required to be in perfect harmony with human ambition." So the fact that my lifestyle would require four planet Earths is just an example of the truth of that statement. I'm not respecting the interdependent web of all existence as well as I could, probably. But, I am trying in my own defense. Like many people, I really am trying to make more environmentally friendly choices. I've ditched all of those toxic cleaners we hear about, and I use baking soda and vinegar and Castile soap. I have a vegetable garden. I belong to a community-supported agriculture program. I am a regular at my farmer's market. I see many of you there. I buy most of my clothes secondhand, including what I'm wearing today. I'm cutting back on my meat consumption. I recycle and I compost and I turn off the lights when I leave a room and all of that stuff, right? In spite of my efforts, though, I will admit I do have my own personal limits about how far I'm willing to go to inconvenience myself. I'm sure that you do too. For example, do you always have a reusable bag with you at all times so that you don't have to use a plastic one? Do you eat food that's shipped to you from far away, especially in the winter when you just really want a tomato? would you be willing to give up your car? Do you live in a home that's larger than you need? And what does that mean anyways? How large do you need your home to be? If we want to change our lives, we're going to have to accept some inconvenience. That's true if we're talking about the planet or pretty much anything else. Sometimes we have to experience discomfort in order to really get a message and make a change. Sometimes we're going to have to do things that we never imagined ourselves doing. And even as I consider this, I still wonder, can we ever do enough? Can I ever do enough? When you think about the fate of the planet and those four Earths I'm going to need, it's easy to feel discouraged, especially when we see large organizations, like big corporations and governments, failing to carry their fair share of the load. What difference does it make if I drive my car less if Canada's bowing out of its Kyoto commitments? It can all feel really futile. And it becomes tempting to just give up altogether. It would, after all, it would be much cheaper and easier to just forget about all that stuff I'm doing to reduce my environmental impact and eat all the fast food I want, and who cares what happens to the garbage. The problem, though, is that once you know something, you can't unknow that thing. So, for example, when Allegra Sloman spoke to us about chocolate and slavery, that really changed the way that I feel when I go buy a chocolate bar. I'm looking for that fair trade label now, and it just doesn't taste as good to me when I know the price that was paid for it. So all of that knowledge that we have affects the way we interact with the world, and although it is kind of inconvenient, it's a good thing because it stops us from being lulled into complacency. So we can't just give up. But what do we do then when we're faced with these really big problems? Don't want to hurt this plant. And no obvious solutions. So I think that we turn to each other. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a program on CBC Radio where they were talking about some of the differences between baby humans and baby orangutans. One of the things that they mentioned is that baby humans love to share. So if you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, you have probably had things shared with you that you didn't particularly want. But you've taken them. You have taken that slobbery cookie, and you have eaten it, and you have been as enthusiastic as you could. Oh, this is great. Thanks. And you did this because you want to encourage that, right? You want to encourage your children to share, because sharing is a value that humans hold very deeply. Baby orangutans, on the other hand, don't share. If you give them things, they'll just stockpile them. And if you try to take something from them, they'll become really upset. So while orangutans have many fabulous traits and great lessons to teach us, sharing isn't one of them. It's not important to them. If you look at human beings compared to many other species, we don't have that many natural talents, right? We're pretty slow. We're not that strong. We can't see or hear or smell that well. Those are not our evolutionary advantages. What our evolutionary advantage is the way that we work together, right? When we connect and collaborate and pool our resources and share our wisdom, we can do a lot more than we could ever do by ourselves. So if you're feeling discouraged, if you feel like you're not able to make a difference, getting together with other people can give you the support you need. And it can also help to magnify your efforts, right? And this is what we do here at Beacon. The other thing we do when we connect and share, which I think is probably even larger, is we reinforce positive change. And we do this both in ourselves and the people we're connecting with, but also in the world around us when people see our example, right? We're shifting our society's social norms. So once a social norm has been established, most of us tend to follow it without thinking too much, right? We drive on the right-hand side of the road. We shake hands with our right hands. And when there's a lineup at the bank, we join the lineup and we wait our turn. And if somebody doesn't do that, we get really aggravated. We might even go home and gripe to her, like, can you put this guy? And some of these social norms are really to our benefit. Some of them aren't so much. But the good news is that they're not written in stone, right? They can be changed, and they frequently are, and we can change them. So just one little example I was thinking of is when I was at school, there was a waste paper basket in the room, right? And every piece of paper you used went into that basket and then went off to the landfill. In my daughter's classroom, there is a garbage can, yes, but there's also a recycling bin, and in her kindergarten classroom, they even had a compost bin. And there are buckets in the hallways for juice boxes and water bottles and all of that. And everybody is really encouraged, though, to do a litterless lunch. And so they're taking very basic steps to reduce the waste. And people just do it without a second thought, right? Nobody has to think about what should I do with this piece of paper. It just goes in the recycling bin. So social norms have changed, are always changing, and we can help to change them. As Unitarian Universalists, I think we're actually really good at changing. We're not tied to a social, in the words of Marian Franklin Ham, who wrote one of my favorite hymns, As Tranquil Streams, we are not tied to a social code that fails to serve the cause of human or ecological need. We revere the past, but we trust the dawning future more. We are forward-looking, and our actions as a church community reflect this. Individually and collectively, we're all working to create positive change for ourselves and our community and the whole world. We're shifting social norms with many of the actions we take on a regular basis. We acknowledge the way that our actions affect the world around us. This is one of the things we're really good at as a church community. This way that we join together reflects one, a sort of a deep spiritual truth that many religious faiths hold. And that is the idea that we are all connected to each other and to the larger world around us. So the Dalai Lama said, "Something may happen in some other distant place, but the repercussions reach you, particularly in the field of modern economy and environmental issues. The whole world is one body. All parts of humanity are part of your life." The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, I don't know if you could get much different than the Dalai Lama and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they said, "Responses to global climate change should reflect our interdependence and common responsibility for the future of our planet. Individual nations must measure their own self-interest against the greater common good and contribute equitably to global solutions." I found this on the Taoist Sanctuary of San Diego's website. Taoism's central principle is that all life, all manifestation, is part of an inseparable whole, an interconnected organic unity which arises from a deep, mysterious, and essentially unexplainable source, which is the Tao itself. An Inuit activist, Sheila Watt Cloutier, said this, "Everything is connected. Connectivity is going to be the key to addressing these issues like contaminants and climate change. They're not just about contaminants on your plate. They're not just about the ice depleting. They're about the issue of humanity. What we do every day can have a very negative impact on an entire way of life for an entire people far away from that source." And I would add that it actually can have a positive, very positive impact as well. It comes back to that interconnected web of all existence. What I do affects not only the people nearest to me, but people half a world away, and plants and animals, and the state of our oceans, and the state of our atmosphere. That impact can be positive or negative. I can do good things for other people, and I can carelessly harm them. And I don't have to even know who they are. So the more that we can honor that interconnectedness and that shared humanity, join together and work together, the better off I think that we'll be. So today is Earth Day. It's a great day to consider how your personal actions impact the planet we all share. It's a great day to plant a tree and make a pledge to reduce your carbon footprint. It's a great day to take a nature walk, say to Burns Bog. But it's an even better day, I think, to consider how you can honor your interconnectedness by joining forces with other people. When we lend each other support, we can really create lasting change. Together, we can make a real difference for the future of this planet that we all live on, and not just on Earth Day, but all year long. Thank you.